You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. I'm Bucky Brooks, and my man, he came back. He came back for another one, part two. Lance Z is on the pod. What up, Lance? H-Town, whoa, putting it down.
What's going on? What's going on? Throw your H's up. Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, man. Look, Lance, I'm a little disappointed, though, because since H-Town, the Houston Astros, out west, they call them the Trash Tros.
Right.
Because of some of those allegations that they've been involved in. I'm surprised you ain't got the double wristbands on like Dusty Baker. You could have been the original of the Shador Sanders celebration if you had put the wristbands with your own face on it and put it up in the camera like that so they could see.
I do have a replica championship ring that I've been saving to give to DJ, but I might just give it to you. It depends on who the biggest Roger fan is. I got a replica Astros championship ring. It's in a box. Like, I'm serious. I'm bringing it out to LA this year. But the dusty wristbands are – you remember when Reggie Roby used to have the wristbands and he had a watch on his – like, he wore a watch.
Got to put the hang time in.
Yeah.
He was the original Shador Sanders. Like, he was letting them know, come on, man, my Rolex is nice.
Shador just put it on after the – he's got to put it on after the game, I guess. But
I guess. I just think it's funny. I think it's funny that everyone is so up at arms when he puts it in your face, like, hey, look at my watch. You know what I mean? It's a little much, but it's kind of fun. So, look, Lance, so this is the first time you've been on a Friday. So, today we're going to do – Bucky's Coach's Corner. We'll talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. Like, we'll pick a little topic and talk about that. But then it's going to be a good time for us to kind of like empty out the notebook on some of the performances and some of the rookies that are standing out to you. So let's talk about that right now. Let's talk about some of the rookies that are standing out. So you being from Houston, representing Texas, and I know y'all think everything is bigger in Texas. One of the best running backs that we ever saw come out of Texas is Bijan Robinson. Hey, man, I saw this dude in London, and he certainly didn't disappoint. He is as good as you can imagine, even better than advertised.
You know, when you try to come up with comparisons, I struggled. I compared him to Josh Jacobs from a standpoint of he's big, he's fast, he's physical, he can catch. But that's not really – it doesn't really capture it because he's a very unique running back, Bucky. He is big, but he's got good size, but he's got good running back size, right? Like, 215, about 5'10". You know, the 6'1", 6'2", you start getting into – there's some problems there. If you're too heavy, it slows down your lateral. What Bijan Robinson has is a low center of gravity, so he's cut low. He split low, and then he's got a very low center of gravity, and then he's got a great lateral change of direction with really loose hips. So his ability to do two different things, like when he gets up to the second level on you, he can elude you and maintain his top speed through his cuts, which is extremely rare. Most people slow down and defenses can rally. With Bijan Robinson, he can cut and go so fast that it's one motion and he really doesn't lose speed. But the thing that makes him special to me is that when he gets up on you, you have to make a decision. Now, it's like a standing in a batter's box and you don't know if it's fastball or changeup, because he's got that little sidestep changeup that he can wiggle you and make you look bad. But or I should say a curveball, really, because he can buckle those knees and fake you to the right, and all of a sudden he's juking you and you're on the ground. Or he can come right with the 99-mile-an-hour fastball right down your face mask. That's the other thing is he's got leverage because he's built low to the ground, so he can either finish through you or finish around you. And that's what makes him really, really tough to me is that, yes, he's multidimensional. Yes, he can play in short yardage. He can play out of the backfield. He can protect the passer. But – he can beat you with power and yards after contact or with elusiveness. And most guys fall into one category or the other. He's that rare guy that can do both.
He is unique. The comparison that I had for him was LaDainian Tomlinson. Ooh. And the reason why is because I thought he had an opportunity to do some of the stuff that LT did early in the league, where he had 100 catches, went for over 1,000 yards as a rusher, a guy that was really everything. When I talked to the Falcons coaches, I talked to them on the field before the Falcons played the Jags, and they just talked about, man, this dude catches the ball like a wideout. Like, they're like, Buck, he legitimately catches the ball maybe better than some of our wideouts in terms of his hand-eye coordination.
He made a catch on his back yeah. hip with one hand and ran it into the end zone for a touchdown. And then he had another one where he made a one-handed catch way out in front of him on a swing pass. Like, we saw those wide receiver hands in that Texans game.
So he catches the ball. And then, look, man, I didn't know that he had all that extra wiggle. He has a one-on-one where he gets the ball in space on Chad Muma, and he hits him with a crossover and then brings it back. I mean, he rocked him like Allen Iverson rocked Michael Jordan at the top of the key. It was unbelievable to yeah. watch what he's able to do. And the thing about him, Lance, is he not only has the shake and bake and the wiggle, right? Because normally when a guy has that stuff, they normally don't want to engage in those power type runs. Like, they always want to dip and dap and get in and out. But he'll drop his shoulder on you. And to me, he is the new prototypical running back that every offense must have. When you look at what Christian McCaffrey is doing for the 49ers, you can envision Bijan Robinson doing the same thing in a Falcons offense as it continues to evolve. I want the running back that, hey, if we need to get downhill, he can get downhill. If we need to get to the edges, he has the speed and quickness to get to the edges. If we need to use him in the passing game, he can do all those things. To me, he is kind of like the ultimate weapon in the backfield. And I know we don't like taking running backs high, but if you're going to take one, it better be one that has those kind of skills that he displayed.
The Falcons don't care what you like, because they'll take a tight end high, running back high. Like, they'll do things that are unconventional. But Bijan Robinson is a guy that is – I don't like to get too caught up in the running back contract discussions, because, you know, the market is the market. But you mentioned this. Guys who can do both but also have, I think, the right size. And you have to be able to do both nowadays if you want to be considered – a premier back, because if not, then we'll just go with that. Okay, we got our banger here. We got our juice guy here. We'll get a three down guy here. You know, they'll just piecemeal it together with the old basketball team approach. But when you get a guy who's special like Christian McCaffrey, when you get a guy who like Bijan Robinson, you know, that's different. That allows you to, and I think it also allows you to take a lot of pressure off your quarterbacks. Brock Purdy's a better player with Christian McCaffrey in that backfield. And that's not a slam on Brock Purdy. It's just an acknowledgement of how important a quality running back is, who gives you a safety net and out of the backfield, but who also takes the pressure off of you and puts pressure on the defense so that the play-action game can work a little bit better. And Desmond Ridder just came off a really good game. The Texans stopped the run against the Falcons. Desmond Ridder ended up having a big game. So sometimes those really good running backs, just them being on the field has the impact that you're looking for your offense.
And I think that's the thing. And I think that's the thing that everyone has to understand. It's not necessarily about the running back being the old school running back that gets it 25 to 30 times a game. It's how does the defense react to the presence of the running back in the backfield, whether it's him as a runner, him as a receiver. Does that running back have the ability to change the way that you have to use your coverage? Because if it does, is worth his weight in gold, but it also makes the game so much easier for the quarterback. Let's talk about somebody else who's making the game easy for the quarterback. How about Puka Nacua? Ooh. How do we miss him? What do we miss on? What do we miss on the BYU standout?
I had to go back and look at my scouting report, Bucky, and I said, you know, I worried about his ability to separate, if he could separate. But I remember Daryl Drake, great wide receiver coach, pour some out for Daryl Drake, who passed away a couple of years ago. But Daryl Drake once told me that a really good quarterback can create separation for a wide receiver. In other words, your wide receiver, if separation, you think it's an issue for them, just remember that it's not as big an issue once they get with an accurate quarterback, because those guys can throw them open. Those guys can hit short windows. Then your question is, how good is he with winning contested catches? Well, if Nacua is not a great separator, if I'm going to work off of that, I also can acknowledge that in the Senior Bowl, after watching him, and I saw his basketball. He was a former basketball player, right? Mm-hmm. So I wrote that up in his notes. You can see his basketball background, but the way he controls his body, his positioning, controlling the catch space, his hands. And we really saw it at the Senior Bowl. He was terrific the first 2 days of Senior Bowl practices. So that was something that really showed up. I just think sometimes, you know, you just – if all the athletic numbers don't blow you away, you kind of forget that being a wide receiver is still about being able to win 50-50 balls, being able to play at a consistent level of energy all game long, which he does. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't take plays off. And then you stick him with a quarterback that's accurate and a good NFL quarterback who's going to be able to take advantage of the windows. Don't have to be as big, but the ball skills matter just as much. Man, I think that's why he's really shined, and he was clearly better than I gave him credit for coming out. And I thought it was interesting that even with Cooper Kupp, who had a big day last week, he still got his numbers last week. He still is active and effective.
So here's the funny thing. So I did a thing where I looked at Puka Nacua, and I actually compared him to Cooper Kupp. And I wondered, man, maybe I missed out on Nacua because I just didn't pay attention to the traits or whatever. Eerily similar to Cooper Kupp in terms of his production coming out of school. When you look at Cooper Kupp at Eastern Washington, one, size-wise, they're identical. Two, when you look at what Cooper Kupp did at Eastern Washington, he was not only involved as a receiver, but he touched the ball a lot as a runner. Nacua had maybe 39, 40 rushes while he was at BYU. Had about 400 yards, but he was a very credible runner on the perimeter. And then just the ball skills, over 2 years, 91 catches. We saw about 1,800 yards that he had. And it was the ability, because he was banged up his last year, but his ability to expand the strike zone. And so even though he doesn't have what I call great separation quickness, doesn't create like these huge voids, you put him with Matthew Stafford, who trusted if I throw it to him, he can catch it. Well, now it's next level. I wondered when Cooper Kupp came back, how they were going to reconfigure the offense. Well, we saw it. They immediately got Van Jefferson up out the paint. Brought Nacua in, and now they got those two big receivers on the perimeter. They're a little more possession-oriented. I think if you ask Sean McVay, this is how he likes it, though, because he has two route runners, two guys that work over the middle of the field, and he is able to kind of make it happen by kind of getting the board on, getting the pen on the whiteboard and creating these concepts that allow those guys to get loose.
I think the Rams' wide receiving choices would be a fascinating discussion because – you got to give him credit for not only hitting with Cooper Kupp and trusting the scouting and trusting the tape, but they did it here with Puka as well. You know, and you mentioned the same kind of guys. They went overboard to me with Tutu Atwell, but Tutu's, you know, he's starting to come around a little bit. You know, they got but they took a shot with small and fast. Now, I didn't love that pick there, and I don't think he's been a major factor since they drafted him there, other than maybe coming on a little bit this year. But I think they took a chance where others may not have, which fascinates me. I think Van Jefferson was a great route runner, a guy with good hands, you know, had some deficiencies from a speed standpoint, but clearly ball skills and football IQ and instincts matter a lot to the Rams. Now, the Tutu was just, we're going to go find a burner and speed's going to matter to us. And maybe that's on the heels of one of Tyreek Hill's, you know, huge seasons. I don't know. But I think the Rams have an interesting way of looking at wide receivers, as you know, as proven by the success of Kupp and Nacua. They understand what they want out of a receiver. And it's a lot more than just, you know, a guy does this or he does that. They want guys who feel the position, have a sense for it, and will win contested catches and kind of are students of the game. You can tell that's important to them because that's what Van Jefferson was. That's what I can't speak for Puka, but I mean, I would assume he is when they met with them because Van Jefferson's dad, he's got a dad who's a wide receiver coach in the league. And Cooper Kupp, I mean, this guy clearly, when you watch him run routes, man, that's an important aspect that he works a lot on.
You know, Lance, I think that's one thing that might be underrated. I think it's not only like evaluating size, speed, all the physical traits, but the intelligence, the IQ, the instincts, the guys are, that you're looking at, that you're considering drafting, that you want to bring in, do they eat it breathe it, sleep it? Do they love it? Are they willing to do the dirty work? Have they refined their school, their skills? Who has been their major influences in terms of, you know, here's the funny thing. Junior Adams, the wide receiver coach at Washington, coached not only Cooper Kupp, but he also coached Puka. And so did the Rams get inside information when they made those comparisons? You know, like I'm doing a comparison, but did they say, hey, Junior, how close is he to Cooper Kupp? Because, you know, as a scout, you go in there, you're always looking for a comp, somebody, and maybe Junior has to say, hey, man, this dude loves it. Like he's in here every Monday. He's looking at the tape. He's doing all this other stuff. I think the main thing is when you're scouting, got to dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper, see how much they love it, see where it comes from, and see if they can sustain it. Because in this league, man, it's not about talent. All the guys have talent. It's about the guys that are able to apply their knowledge and really develop an expertise that allows them to win over and over and over again.
I don't know how to explain this other than, you know, because having a coach tell you that or a personnel guy tell you that who've heard from somebody in the building, that's a big deal to know that stuff. Like, that's something that people who like to do this for fun or the draft nicks or any of us in this space, if we don't hear from people, it's hard for us to know that. And those are very important, extremely important elements of why a team may pass on a guy or why a team may draft a guy that you are wondering why. But I do think that when I watch tape over and over on a player, it's not every player, but every once in a while I get a glimpse of somebody that I can tell it's important. I can tell they love football. I can tell there's something about the way that they play, the energy they play with. You can almost sense level of importance for certain players on the field. You can definitely see it with linebackers a lot of times with with their energy on the field. You can see it with safeties for sure. That's another one where instincts will pop up. And instincts, I think, Bucky, can be confused with football, with high football character. Because just because you're instinctive, you may say, oh man, this guy just sits in there and reads, you know, watches film all day. He loves football. That's not necessarily the case. Some dudes just have it. Some guys are just extremely instinctive. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're hard workers.
No, they're two completely different things, because the work ethic goes up under your football character. The instincts are what you see on the field. Like, man, I just felt it. I went for it. I've seen them run this play a couple of times where they line up in this formation. I'm going. You know, it's something that's innate. Yeah, film study enhances it, but it's the ability to take what you're thinking and go and trust it. And it's the educated guesses that allow you to play a step faster in those things. It's funny because we talked about Alabama, we talked about the Texans. I felt like Henry To'oto'o, I felt like he had that, you know, and I felt like when you watched him, you're like, man, this is a linebacker all day. But in trying to assign a round value or what he would project as, it was the hard thing. But then you watch him in the league, and why wouldn't I think he'd be a pro player? He played like a pro player at Tennessee and Alabama. That's what he continues to do. That is the thing. And I would say, as a scout, trust in your own gut and your instincts. Man, if guys play and they play really well, they tend to play really well in our league.
Well, and another instinctive guy that I was a little low on, you may have been too, was Sam LaPorta. I mean, Sam LaPorta comes from tight end U now at Iowa. And Sam LaPorta, he's not a great blocker. I think that he's always going to have some issues there. But as a pass catcher, he has some instincts. He has talent after the run, but he is a guy who feels his position really, really well. He just has a feel for being in space. And I think that's really shown with a creative play caller in Detroit, and an accurate quarterback who's been around the league for a while and had some success. I think that's really helping the rookie Sam LaPorta out in Detroit. And he's really, man, he's proven to be. And look, there's a lot of people who really like Sam LaPorta a lot. I just felt like there were guys I liked a little better than LaPorta, but he's putting it on tape every week. He's putting it on tape that this guy is a factor now, that you kind of understood why Detroit felt like they would be okay without Hockenson. They traded him. Of course, they don't know who they're going to get, but it was a deep tight end draft, and you had to know that when you moved Hockenson, your scouting department already knew this was going to be a really, really good tight end draft this last year, and they fell into a good one.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. He's a good player. He's a really good player. You talked about Iowa being tight end U. They've had a number of guys come through there. They're well taught. They understand how to run routes. More importantly, they understand how to block. And He's one, man. The Detroit Lions have knocked it out of the park. We talked about the Rams finding their wide receiver. And then most, I mean, how can we forget Bijan Robinson? These rookies, man, this rookie class loaded with talent. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Coach's Corner. Talk about my little word for the day.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, LZ, so we're back. You know, old Bucky Brooks coaches a little bit. Your dad was a longtime coach. So what we try and do every week, we try and share like a little nugget. And I am sure your dad has had this conversation with some of the players that he played, particularly on the offensive line. And so our theme for the day is dominating your role. And so one of the things that we all have to do, whether it's playing or being in our walk of life, like think about us in the media biz, us at NFL Network, doing all the things. You got to figure out, you got to get in where you fit in, and you got to find a way to thrive in the role that you're given. And so when I think about it with like young players in coaching, what you do is you tell young players, hey, man, this game is the ultimate trust game. If I am a coach, am I going to play you? I got to trust you. And the only way you can earn my trust is if I give you a little bit and you do a lot with it. Meaning, maybe I give you, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this on special teams. I watch how you handle that. You show great energy, great dedication. You then put up performance and production that kind of stands out. Well, now, maybe I give you a little more. Maybe I expand your role. But before you can get more things, you have to take what you're given, and you really got to crush it. And I would imagine for you, Lance, let's just think about you doing all the profiles and stuff for the draft. Someone had to say, hey, Lance, I'm going to give you a shot at this. Hey, look at these guys and get back to me. And then after you crush the report, it expands. So for me, much like I'm sure your dad did, hey, man, if you can dominate this small role, then it gives me confidence that you can dominate a bigger role down the end.
Yeah, so I've been at radio for 26 years, right? And so I started when I was doing like a weekend. I was doing this little thing when I was like 24, doing this little weekend thing. And it's exactly that. Like you've got to – so the phrase, the thing is the thing. Well, when you understand that if you're worried about where you're trying to get to, and I don't care if this is a quarterback, a head coach, you have to worry about your process. You can't just worry about results, or you can't worry about if you're in you say, well, I want to eventually become this. Whatever you are right now, be the best at what you are right now. You're exactly right. And if your whole thing is trying to be a starting center, and you're a backup center, then what do you need to do? You need to lift more. Is your technique going to get better? If you're somebody who is trying to become a sales manager and you're in sales, then you got to just be great at sales. What is it in sales that you can dominate? As you mentioned, dominating your position now, because dominance, when you dominate your position, when you get to be the best at what you are, when that's important enough that you begin to master it, you're going to move up. Like you're going to elevate. And the same thing with teams. I've watched it with a bad, you know, the baseball team we talked about, the team that I follow, the Astros, they were atrocious. They were terrible. And they had to take little steps, and you have to understand who you are and what you are. But then as you mentioned, like you do have control. You don't have control how fast you get to some place. But if you dominate where you are right now, trust me, the journey gets there a lot quicker.
The journey does get there a lot quicker. And it's one of the things that everyone has to understand exactly how they fit in. You have to be willing to, at times, put the team over yourself. But if you pour all the way into the team, you also have to trust the fact that when the team has success, everybody individually up under that will also have success. I think you and I have seen it in our professional careers. Man, you get with a good team, the team elevates you, and you get more opportunities because of the team that you're associated with. It's one of those things when we talk about people getting into the business. You talked about your story in radio, very similar to my story in media. Man, you're just looking for an opportunity. And when you get that opportunity, you really got to cherish the small and then hope that someone recognizes the work that you poured into that little thing and they decide to really gamble on you and give you more. So that's the little coaching corner for the day, dominate your role, whatever that role is, dominate it. Dominate, 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 much like Deion Sanders. Coach Prime talks about to his team, the ultimate goal is domination. And one guy that I know dominates, that's Lance Z. Every time we have him on the pod, Lance crushes it. So, Lance, thanks for putting it down. Represent H-Town. We got to bring you back another time. This time we got to do it. We got a full compliment. Me, DJ, you, chopping up about the draft.
Let's go. I can't wait to do it.
Hey, man. Thanks so much, guys. That was MCS. That was Move the Sticks. Make sure you check us out next week. Bunch of shows. Can't wait to talk about what happened this weekend.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.